Hey, what up, Long Beach? Happy holiday. Wait, can I say that? Yes, yes. In my brain, when we stop covering football and our winter previews are out for Long Beach basketball, soccer, water polo, and wrestling, it is holiday time. So happy holidays to you and yours, Long Beach. Welcome back to the 562.org and our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach? It's real simple. I'm JJ. He's Mike. He's Tyler. Today, we are talking about the CIF Southern Section football playoffs, playoff equity, the Cal Preps rankings, and everything that moves your favorite Long Beach High School football team up and down during and into the postseason. Now, obviously, everything available at the 562.org right now is everything Long Beach sports. We do have those previews for your winter teams and schools and everything that's coming up as the Moore League starts its basketball and soccer schedules this month. We are days away from covering local matchups like Wilson and Pauley girls soccer, one of our favorite rivalries in the city. That is just around the corner. So go to the website right now and lace up your boots. But you guys, Mike and Tyler, you went to the St. John Bosco Modern Day CIF Southern Section Division I championship game at the Rose Bowl and came back with a different perspective on how the Southern Section decides which division these teams are in. Now, on this very show, I believe it was almost 2 months ago now, we were talking about how the Southern Section should just take Modern Day and Bosco, top two teams in the nation by some people's standards, and just let them do their own thing. An open division, if you will. They are the champions. They get to play each other. It's going to be great. It's going to be on national television. It's going to be in the Rose Bowl, for goodness sakes. Let them have their party so that everyone else can also party. The Division One breakdown, if you take out Modern Day and Bosco, would have given us so many incredible matchups that I think anybody who was a high school football fan in Southern California would have paid to see. But we don't get that. We get huge blowouts from Bosco and Modern Day as they just basically arrive on the collision course that had been set before the season even began. So the question is, what can the CIF Southern Section do to adjust the playoff equity and the Cal Preps rankings deciding these divisions? What can they do to adjust it a little bit so that we don't have to watch Bosco and Modern Day beat up everybody before they beat up each other and ruin possible championship seasons for teams like, oh, I don't know, Long Beach Pauley?
Well, I don't, you know, look, it's not really a Pauley argument, but we had the conversation on the pod. Tyler and I went to the Rose Bowl to watch that game and had that conversation at the Rose Bowl a bunch as well. But what I wanted to start with is this is a playoff system that if you are a Long Beach football fan, you should really be kissing Rob Weigott's shoes that they came up with this playoff system, because we went from 20 years where no one in the Moore League besides Pauley had won a football game to Compton playing for a CIF football championship, Jordan playing for a football championship, Lakewood playing for a football championship. Pauley obviously won theirs, the other three lost. St. Anthony, but within the Moore League specifically, four of the seven teams have played for a CIF championship in the last two seasons.
Full stop.
Impossible to put into context how historic that is. The last time that was happening was when the Moore League was in what was called the Coastal Conference in the CIF, which was basically the Moore League, the Sunset League, and one or two other leagues. That was the only time that this was happening. And so, number one, huge fan of the playoff system. Very glad that that exists for the local schools. And as writers, it's obviously been fun. Love seeing the Lakewood community rally around their football team, Jordan and Compton and St. Anthony, as well as Pauley got that experience last year.
And for the layman, that's because instead of working the system on, I don't know, population of your school, size of your school, now it is the quality of your character. It is the quality of your program that decides where you are in the playoffs. And that's why the local teams aren't having to go play the other big schools. You've got a Lakewood playing a Hemet in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, and we talk about it all the time that there's no such thing as a perfect system, but I think this is about as close as we've gotten to a fair and even system. And the CIF has put out stats to let people know you know, how close the games were in the first couple rounds or throughout the playoffs compared to previous years. And I think the point to make is it doesn't matter how imbalanced your league may be. It doesn't matter if you have a team like Pauley that only gives up 6 points the entire league season. The clock was running almost half of the time they were playing a league opponent. It has more to do with what can you put together at the end of the season? Can you improve throughout the course of the year? Will you be able to win those matchups against teams that are going to be about the same talent level as you? And so it's been, to Mike's point, it's been a great benefit from the Moore League instead of being cannon fodder in the first round of the Pac-5 playoffs, which was every year like, all right, which team's going to – are you going to get to lose to Santa Margarita? Yeah. Or is it going to be San Clemente? Is it going to be Mater Dei? You know, where is your season going to end in a 52-0 blowout or whatever it is? But I think what's interesting about this current format is that they have a really great system for most of the schools – and they have a unique problem with two schools that just are so far beyond the standard deviation of how good a football team should be at the high school level. Historically good for Bosco and Mater Dei to be the top two teams in the nation and also be in the same section. So I don't think the CIF is bummed out to have the two best high school football teams in the country, but it is difficult putting together a bracket when you have teams that are this dominant. So quickly, just looking at the numbers of how this Division I bracket played out. The eight games leading up to that, what felt inevitable, Bosco Mater Dei championship game. We were joking that that was the date on the schedule that they were going to play their rematch. It came to fruition, and it was an amazing football game. In the four games that did not include Bosco and Mater Dei in the Division I playoff bracket, the combined margin of victory in those four games was 21 points. In the four games that did include Bosco and Mater Dei in that Division I bracket, other than the game they played against one another, the margin was 162 points. 162 to 21. Good in God. The semifinal round, that's the game right before the final. Sometimes the semi is the best game. The combined margin between Mater Dei and Bosco over two really, really good public school teams, Los Al and Mission Viejo, was 93-6. Those, like you said, JJ, we talked about like, oh, just make Bosco and Mater Dei the teams.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what happened.
Right.
They cakewalked into the championship.
Right.
Mixed in there, there were some pretty good and exciting football games between Poly Los Al.
Right.
Between Mission Viejo, Corona Centennial. It just was too bad for those teams that those were all prelude to getting waxed by a really good junior college team.
Anybody who walked into that Division I bracket not named Bosco and Mater Dei feels hard done by, right?
Yeah, I think so. So this is the, you know, like I said, we've established, I think we're all on the board that we like the playoff system. And I think that it's clear that
we like the stock
for sure. The Southern section understands, and Eric Sonheimer made this point, and I would agree with him on this point. You can't call it the competitive equity playoff system and then have the top two teams roll everybody, you know, by that many. But there's nothing equitable or competitive about it. So
also because, and I think that's also a good point, the reason why they started doing it was because of blowout playoff games.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah,
right, so, right. And then here we are, that, right back where we started.
And that's when you look at the email they sent, as Tyler mentioned, like the stats are very much on their side. Like these games are twice as close as they were 2 years ago,
it's
3 years
working.
Ago. It's working, 100%. The games are closer. 16 seeds feel they have a chance against one seeds. You know, like there's no question that it's working. It's better for a bigger number of people. I do think I've seen sports writers like Fred Robledo, who is our old colleague at SCNG when we're at the Press Telegram. Fred's pointed out, and I agree with him, it's a little weird to have your third place teams, the teams that you expect to spend the most time with in the playoffs. When we started covering sports, and for 100 years before that, your best team was a team that went the furthest in the playoffs. There's a certain, like, that makes sense emotionally, rationally, that makes sense to everybody. And it is a little weird, like what happened with Lakewood this year and what would have happened last year with Jordan and Compton had Poly not also gone to the championship is, yeah, like the third place team is kind of a better spot to be in if you're a good third place team because you're going to be in a lower division. But throw all that aside, yes, I do think it's much better. What sure didn't make sense was the situation when Rob Weigod was a coach at Lakewood High School where he was like, you'd have a great season. And then you'd get to the end of the year, you would have earned that top 3-4 spot in the Moore League. And then you're waiting for the playoff brackets. And he's like, and we could see it in our kids. The kids would be looking at us like, we got to play who?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
on
who's
the road
this?
Mostly.
We got to go to Santa Margarita. Like, why? Yeah. You know, like, who is this helping? And so, yes, this situation that we're talking about with Bosco and Mater Dei being so much better than everyone else, that was kind of the situation that like everyone was in for the longest time under this enrollment-based playoff bracket. So to back all of that up, yes, I think they acknowledge that the blowouts are a problem. They've specifically said, I talked to Rob Weigott about this at the Lakewood game, they've asked the football advisory committee to give them some options. What should we do? Everything's on the table. Should we take Bosco and Mater Dei and give them a bowl game championship and say, here it is? Well, Rob pointed out that wasn't the championship game last year. It has been the championship five of the last 6 years, which right. is unprecedented. And, you know, looking at how young the talent is on those teams, I think you feel pretty good that we're going to remain in this same sort of, you know, context for the next couple of years. But, you know, they can't put a playoff system into place at the end of the year. They do need to have some.
However, they did move teams throughout the year and then at the end of the year decide what division you're in. So, in essence, in the same way that a girls volleyball bracket is decided at year's end, where you're like, okay, who deserves to be in the open? Or like basketball's been doing that for more than a decade. Who decides to be in the open? Then let everybody else kind of fall where they may. You could technically do that with the top two teams in Division One. There's your championship as the open division. Everybody else gets to play for the Division I championship.
Well, and they do have that flexibility, right? Because we did see that the Division I bracket was a different size than the rest of the divisions. So there is flexibility to make it a different bracket. They made it 10 teams instead of 16.
Right.
Obviously, there was rumors that it could be an 8-team, could be a 4-team bracket. It's just really tough to put anything on the books when we're not necessarily going to have this situation again. Like,
right.
How often is the Southern Section, and it could very well continue to happen, but how often are you going to have the top two teams in the nation? But let's also point out, there's also other top 25 programs in this Division I bracket.
Right.
Like, Poly's nationally ranked, Mission Viejo's nationally ranked, Corona Centennial, Los Al. These are all nationally ranked teams. So how can you sit there and say that number 20 can't beat number one? Because in many years, that could happen and would happen.
Fair enough. But the most interesting part about you guys and coming back from that game at the Rose Bowl was explaining how different it felt on the sideline. So please give the listeners a couple anecdotes. Listen, we spend every Friday of the fall on a football sideline. We've been doing it for over 10 years. So we know what it feels like to be on an elite sideline, a sideline that's struggling, maybe a sideline that needs a coaching change, maybe a sideline that just needs something different to happen for different sake.
Yeah.
So what did it feel like to be on the sideline at the Rose Bowl with two of the best high school, and I put that in quotes, football teams in the nation?
Yeah, like the talent is so high that it really is like a different level. And, you know, I think – just to give some broader context here, you know, we covered Bosco for 5 years at the Press Telegram. Still have a lot of friends over there. I'll be completely honest; was certainly rooting for them to beat Mater Dei in the championship. And so I, you know, certainly like nothing like against their program or Mater Dei's or whatever. But it's they are right now at a completely different level. And having not really been at one of the games between those teams for a couple of years, it was a real, like, Tyler and I just kind of kept looking at each other like, the talent level all over the field is crazy. You watch a play where Mater Dei ran, I think it was like a jet sweep, and they've got a receiver who's, you know, like a 4-star kid running at a full sprint to the sideline trying to turn the corner. And for Bosco, you have a kid, I think it was Peyton Woodyard, right, highly recruited safety, on a full sprint to beat that kid to the sideline. They're both running faster than any player that we covered this year. And in terms of football speed. And then Woodyard makes like a form tackle at full speed, at like a 10-500 speed, a form ankle tackle to keep the kid from turning the corner and gaining any yards. And I just looked at Tyler and I was like, if we're being honest, in the Moore League right now, good league, you expecting teams to win in the playoffs at this point in the Moore League.
Yes.
Four of the seven teams have been to championship games. Nationally ranked program at the top of the list in Poly. Dylan Williams, Dalen Austin, the quarterbacks at Poly and Milliken, Ryan Pelham,
Jordan Anderson in Washington.
You're talking about six or seven kids that are at the talent level of what's out there. And I'd put Tyson Ruffins from Poly alignment as a guy who always has done well against bigger competition. But we're looking at lines where they're rotating guys in who you're like, and look, I mean, let's just fully open it up. Derek Robertson at Lakewood this year, right? Bosco guy, wasn't playing at Bosco, comes over to Lakewood, didn't play all year because of eligibility issue, gets in in the playoffs, in the semifinals, comes in immediate, huge impact player.
Yes.
In a Division 8 semifinal, right? Lakewood, the third place team in the world. Like, that's just how big the talent differential is. And I do think that that's different. You know, I mean, we're sort of old timers, but we're not that old. And it wasn't that long ago that, you know, Pauley beat Bosco and Mater Dei back-to-back years in 2012. And last year, we say Servite beat Bosco to get to the championship game. So it's not, I'm not saying that it's, like, impossible and that we should be legislating things from that perspective. But I do think we're watching that game, and Tyler and I just kept looking at each other going, this is a different animal when it comes to high school football. You know, two of the best teams I've ever seen. The Mater Dei kids made two of the best catches we've ever seen, like, as we're walking onto the field. And so I don't know how they legislate that. I don't think that you can say two teams. And I made the point to you guys when Eric Sonheimer and we and other people were saying it should be two or four teams. Well, I know what Jason Negro was telling the CIF. He's saying, why are you punishing my kids for being the best football team? You're going to give us less playoff games than, you know, every other team in the Southern section is getting. And I think that's fair. And I think if you're the CIF, who are you building your system to respect the best two teams in the country or every?
Negro and I had this conversation when we were covering them. I also said to him in that same situation, yeah, but would you rather have Tesoro come over so you can beat them by 75 or travel to Hawaii and play an extra week negative zero game or something like that, right? Like, what is the student athlete experience at Bosco? I don't think it's built around first round CIF championship games.
No, and yeah, that's fair. But it's what's interesting is that you've got a bracket where many of those games needed to happen. We needed a football game to tell us who was better between LaSalle and Long Beach Poly. And we found out. Right. And it was a good game. We needed a football game to tell us who's better between Corona Centennial and Mission Viejo. And we found that out. We didn't need a football game to tell us who was better between Mater Dei and LaSalle, respectfully. And obviously it bore out with 52-0. But it's not always going to be that way. But clearly, Bosco and Mater Dei both needed all of the players that they had to beat one another. They right. split against one another.
Right.
They clearly, if they're trying to get to a championship, they need to be as good as they are to win it. And both were in a position to win it. But they can't say, oh, it's an embarrassment of riches, because if they have fewer kids on their team, they don't bring in as much talent. Yeah. They're going to lose to the other one. So right. they are at a very neck and neck battle with one another. It just so happens their neck and neck battle, like a furlong and a half ahead of the rest of right. the pack. So that's what's so strange about it. And ultimately it's going to come down to, you know, they're always going to have more resources than your average school. They are the best, like, funded and infrastructure and name recognition and league and all that stuff, right? Everyone understands the advantages that they have. It is ultimately up to the students to decide where they go and play football.
Yes.
So it is up to the players and their families to continue to say, we want to go to this school, and ultimately it's going to make these two stand out so much above the rest. So if we're saying as a community, we don't like having two teams that make the playoffs no fun for the other top eight teams in the area, then we're going to have to start seeing decisions of parents to say, we're going to go to the third and fourth program to make them better. Or we're going to stay in our community program and try to build that up rather than just doing the kind of like super team model that has clearly been working for Bosco and Mater Dei with kids that are not exactly from Santa Ana and Bellflower, respectfully.
And it's not exactly a high school program if you look on the sidelines and all the equipment that they're using and the fact that they can get to the sideline and use their cameras to look at plays. That's college stuff. That's pro stuff. You know what I mean? You guys were talking about the fact that mentally, that's not even high school football. Granted, the physical stuff you already mentioned, you can just see with your eyeballs. But the feel on the sideline, that mental approach to the game for a Bosco and a Mater Dei is also at an elite level.
Yeah, and I think they have progressed in a way, which is why I think they've had the success getting kids that they have. You know, I mean, I think that that's understandable. You know, we
have battery packs down on those sidelines. Milliken was using a gasoline generator to turn their television on their sideline during their second round playoff game. That's the difference. Those teams are supposed to be competing against each other if Milliken can get to that spot.
Yeah, but and I think that that's like, so what I'm curious for is if we were all to come up with our playoff system, I'll be honest with you, my system would be what they had this year. You know, it gives you the flexibility to say if the top four teams had been at a significantly higher rating than everyone else, it does give you the flexibility to say we're taking the top four teams and doing semifinals. Are Bosco and Mater Dei going to be thrilled about that? Is a team that's number four going to be thrilled about, like, oh, you're sending me to play the number one team in the country? And then the number five team is the favorite in a Division II championship? No, but it does give you that flexibility, because when we talk about trying to make this stuff more competitive through structural changes, I always play devil's advocate on that stuff with you guys, right? Like, they have to create a system for every possible outcome. So what happens if next year Mater Dei's new coach is not as good at, you know, burying the cables underground as their previous coach, and they end up forfeiting games? And now, we built a system where the top two teams are going to play three times in a best of three, or they're going to go straight to the Rose Bowl for a Division I championship. And now you've really put whoever the number three team was in a terrible spot.
Well, what about this? And obviously World Cup seeping into every single one of my thoughts recently.
Yellow cards?
No, what about a group stage?
Yellow cards?
What about a group stage where you play three games? The top two teams go on to play the championship. So, for example, it would be the top four teams this year, right? Then you've got your Bosco and your Mater Dei winning, so they advance out of group. And then the other two teams just fall back into Division I. And so Bosco and Mater Dei play their championship game, while the other two teams who got playoff games, Bosco and Mater Dei also getting their playoff games, then get to go play for an actual championship.
That is one of the proposals that's out there.
Yeah, yes, and for sure. In fairness, we do have, like, the group play. We've seen it in girls volleyball. They have the group stage where the top division, we saw Lakewood girls volleyball play in that. So you play your three matches, you know, whoever moves on, and then the others fall out, but they're more prepared for state because they actually got three matches rather than just one and done. Another idea that I would just kind of throw out there, maybe kind of similar to yours, JJ, you have an open division, like you call this division open division, exactly the same format that we had. And then after the semifinal, you acknowledge the teams that lose the semifinal move on to the consolation Division I bracket.
Like every basketball tournament that's happening right now in Southern California.
And imagine,
multiple brackets.
Imagine we got the exact same blowouts. We got the game at the Rose Bowl that everybody wanted to see.
Yep.
But then we also got Losal and Mission Viejo. Like, you guys won your Division I playoff game. They were competitive games.
Yep.
You won. You had your chance to slay the dragon and grab that golden ring. You didn't get there, but you can still play for a CIF championship.
Yeah.
And it's a Division I championship. It's not the highest division, but you would still be able to play for that in that following week. That would be something that I think could make sense. I think something going forward that you can put on paper is if you're using the CalPreps rating system and there's a discrepancy in the number, the score that each program gets, if there is a margin in those ratings that the computer spits out that a strength of a team is 35, 40, 50 points higher than the field, and it's pretty obvious that there's such a big discrepancy based on this computer model that's telling you who's competitive with each other. Because when you get down in Division 8, the difference between the 1 seed and the 16 seed is decimal points.
And changes every week.
However, at the top, it can be super big.
Yes.
And so if they're going and playing top teams in the country, their offensive ratings off the charts, they're blowing teams out like crazy, and you know it's not going to be competitive in that particular season, maybe there's a way to say, hey, this needs to be separated out because your rating, your strength is too high and we don't see this as being competitive. So maybe that's something you write into the language of your playoff format, so it takes some of the judgment away from saying eyeball test, I don't think Losal, Mission Viejo, whoever can compete with these teams. You're saying the computers and the data say that this team has separated itself by so much that we're not doing anybody any favors by scheduling those games.
Yeah, you could also say that the scheduling of games, right, like the non-league stuff, could also be a precursor to the playoffs. You get teams kind of on a league schedule to play each other every season so that the head-to-head stuff can kind of decide. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If Pauley loses to Mater Dei, or if Losal loses to Mater Dei by 50 points in week four, maybe you don't have to replay that game in week 14.
Yeah, but I do think ultimately what they have right now gives them the flexibility Tyler's talking about. I think that if they switch to a format like what JJ's talking about, that's something you have to do before the season.
Yes.
That's something that you have to say, because the coaches have to agree to it. You know, and that look, that happened with volleyball. Volleyball coaches agreed to it, and then that Division I bracket came out, and I think it was Damian Calhoun at the Daily Breeze had the story that was like, hey, coaches are not necessarily thrilled about this new playoff format, you know? I like that because it does keep the teams playing, and I would not be surprised to hear of an 8-team bracket where the bottom four teams fall down and then continue to play. I think that that's something like that is very possible. And I do think that that would allow you to fill the Division I bracket out without it just being like, congrats on making it to Division I.
Yeah.
You're at Bosco. Turn your stuff in on Monday.
Well, think about this too. And I know we went away from it a while ago, but I see no reason why not to bring it up again. The public versus private. Yes, public schools have beaten private schools in the playoffs. Yes, they've won championships by beating those private schools. However, if for this year example, Bosco, Mater Dei, Sierra Canyon, and whoever the fourth best private school is get to be in their own bracket and everybody else plays a Division I bracket, so you've got the private school open and then everybody else is public. I don't think anybody says no to that because Bosco and Mater Dei get their playoff games. We still get the national championship on our own backyard, and teams like Poly and LoSalle have a chance to win it.
Let's go top eight in the current Cal Preps rankings. Top eight private: St. John Bosco, Mater Dei, Sierra Canyon, Orange Lutheran, J. Sarah, Bishop Amat, Chaminade, and Sierra Gardena. Top eight sounds like a pretty great bracket. Yeah. Top eight public schools: Mission Viejo, Corona Centennial, LoSalle, Inglewood, Poly, Edison, Yorba Linda, Rancho Cucamonga.
Yes.
Also not
yes,
bad.
Please. So, I do think – so, and this is where the CIF, to their credit, are really trying to hold their coalition together. And that's why they send out emails that point out, as this email did – 11 of the section champions are public schools, 3 of them are private. In 6 public versus private CIF championships, public schools went 4-2. The thing that they understand, is the same thing we understand, which is this. There's just levels. And so we tell people all the time, there's 4 times as many people out there who care about football on our website as there are people who care about any other thing. And there are also 4 times more people on our website who care about Poly football than they care about all the other football teams combined. So there's levels within levels. And similarly here, you can say that the public schools won 6 championships. That's fine. But people are watching a nationally televised game between Bosco and Mater Dei, and that's the game. That's the only game anyone's asking me about. That's not someone who closely follows high school football, you know? And that's what people see. That's the message that's out there. And so, you know, it's difficult for me. I don't want to see fundamentally public schools and private schools split up. Mm-hmm. I don't want that for the whole of the state. I don't know if you can do it for only football, but I do actually think that that would be better. If you just look at this every year, and then on top of that, and look, I've got my own personal bias in here. You're saying that some kids who are at J. Sarah have to play Bosco? Cool, man. They already chose to go to a school that's in a league with those guys.
Yeah, they already played.
You know, versus, hey, these public schools, especially as the – and let's be honest too, as the level of the public schools in Southern California are coming back up. You mentioned Corona Centennial, LoSalle, Mission Viejo, Poly, all nationally ranked this year, and rightfully so. All Americans on all those teams, good coaches at all 4 of those schools – good level of talent and increased depth than where it was a few years ago at all those schools. I now think if I had to vote for something that was not the current system, if I had to do a fundamental change, I would almost rather see a split into a public and private for football only.
And I disagree. I just feel like so many of the great games that I went to as a kid were public schools against private schools. The Poly Mater Dei rivalry in high school football is part of what made me such a big sports fan and such a big football fan, fan of high school sports, everything. It helped shape my life because I'm still working in high school sports.
Is that also because it was rare, though, right? It's not that they played every year. It's that it was rare and it was in the championship, much like the way they do public-private basketball in the city of New York, where it's just one game, best public, best private, but that's the best game of the year every year. And if they played it all the time, it wouldn't mean as much.
Yeah, but I also think that it's not necessarily a public versus private, because you're not going to sit here and say, like, well, obviously St. Anthony's running Long Beach because it's a private school.
Right.
It comes down to, like, resources, right? And so a public school like Mission Viejo, it can dominate tons of private schools because they got resources.
Right.
And so ultimately that is what it comes down to. And I grant the premise that it would be a more entertaining and fair bracket to split them up. But ultimately, in a lot of seasons, there's going to be a claim that a public school could be the best team, whether it's Corona. We've seen Corona Centennial beat those teams in championship games a number of times. They've been able to get it done because they have the resources. They have a good talent pool out there. So I don't want to take away those rivalries necessarily, and I want to have kind of that true champion. I don't want to just say, you know, throw our hands up, there's nothing we can do, because I don't see it as a public-private issue. I see it as a have and have-nots issue, and never have there been fewer haves with so much more than the rest of the field, even among people who have resources. Bosco and Mater Dei are just on a whole nother planet with talent, with quality of coaching, with money, all that kind of stuff. And for me, they're already playing teams from out of state. They're already traveling all over the country. So the idea of, like, oh, we need these playoff games and our kids need a chance to get film, I'm like, all right. It kind of falls on deaf ears for me, because it's like you're putting them on this, you know, unprecedented stage and platform. You're taking them all over the place. Clearly getting film and being recruited isn't an issue. And if your third or fourth stringers are feeling like, well, I need a chance to get into more games so I can get film,
go to your home school.
Dog, for real.
I don't even think it's just from their perspective. If you're the CIF Southern Section and you have the top two teams in the country, you're going to park those teams in the garage for 3 weeks? You know, I mean, when ticket sales, when people, like we just mentioned, those are the two teams that everybody's talking about.
Hey, what was my idea at the Rose Bowl? You could have just played a best of three series between these teams. You could play one at the Rose Bowl, one at the Coliseum, and one at SoFi.
Let's go.
Or whatever. You know what I mean? But it's like, I don't know. I see what you're saying.
They could have played one at SoFi, but Mater Dei did not want to do that. So.
But is the CIFs, are they there to make money, or are they there to put on the most, you know, fair, equitable, and, you know, well-structured.
I actually don't think they're there to do either of those things. I think, like, this system is the only time I've ever heard anyone talk about, are the playoffs fair? You know what I mean?
They used to talk about that all the time. Yeah, well, hold on. They used to talk about that all the time in basketball, and that's why basketball was the spearhead to changing all playoffs. Basketball was the first sport in Southern California to try to figure out a way to not have the school with 4,000 play with the school with 4,000 because they just had 4,000 kids on campus.
Yeah, but anyway, but my point being about Bosco and Mater Dei, it's like if you acknowledge, as we have, these are the two teams that everyone's talking about, that everyone wants to see, I don't think it makes sense to shelve them, to shelve them for 3 weeks. The question is, and first of all, look, in my opinion, the pendulum's shifting away a little bit here. I wouldn't say from Bosco and Mater Dei, obviously, and being aware of some of the freshmen and young talent that those programs have. But if you look at the Trinity League this year, those public schools that we were talking about beat most of those teams in the Trinity League most times that they would play, in my opinion. And so I do think those lower level, quote unquote, the lower tier of the upper echelon the pendulum's moving away from them, right? And back to a Los Al, a Mission Viejo, a Poly. If people talk about neighborhood school, I don't necessarily know about that. But they're moving back, you know, towards those public school programs. And so I will be very curious to see. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Public schools have more legislation about some things and they have less legislation about other things. And if you're trying to go to a school that is going to, for an NIL deal, for example, sort of legally have to stay out of your way, Los Al, they really cannot tell their students anything about anything. It's a public school. Jay Sarah might have their own rules about what you're allowed to do with their school or not before you opt in. So there's a variety of factors at play here. The only thing I would say is this. I don't like it when stuff changes dramatically in format in a short period of time, because in my opinion, it kind of jacks with the historical record a little bit. It's like you want some kind of a standard that's being measured across the board such that you don't have a ton of situations like what happened with, we've had elite teams who were the victim of scheduling stuff like this. Well, like the Poly girls basketball team, the first year that they did the open division, they had a 3-week stretch in the playoffs where they played one game. And Carl Buggs was going nuts about it. Was like, I've got all this talent. They're ready to play. They're trying to get on the court. And we're just sitting here watching these teams that are not as good as us play. You know, and then the next year they changed the format to where they did the pool play thing, right? Yeah. Like, that's my only thing. And I understand they're going to have to try stuff, see if it works, and then try and fix it. But I would like to see from that football advisory committee some really bold ideas. And I would like to see the CIF, because it's going to be a new commissioner that is going to ultimately answer for this, sort of come out, and I'd like to see it debated at one of their council meetings. I would like to see some public conversation about this. And then whatever we sort of stick with, I'd like to see that happen for a few years in a row so that we have some sort of stability in terms of what are the expectations.
Yeah. I'd like to volunteer ourselves.
This year's how many teams in Division I thing was like – it was great for website traffic, but it was really bad for everyone's ability to go to sleep at the end of the night.
I will volunteer ourselves to host the panel discussion of here are the 7 best ideas for the playoffs. We'll do it. We'll do it for free.
Yeah, and I won't even demand to have all 7. I'll let you guys. I'll let you guys get a couple in there. Yeah, we can have it at Naples. I'm sure we can get the back room. We'll talk to Dave, and we'll host everybody, and we'll make it fun. It's not that far from the CIF office, so why not? It'd be great. And Mike, you mentioned like, oh, you don't want to park the best teams for 3 weeks. They did park them for 1 week.
True.
They did give them a bye in the first round.
That
so
seems like the right compromise. That seems like the right compromise to me.
And I got to be honest with you, looking at the score lines, didn't look like they had to break too much of a sweat those next the next 2 weeks.
Right, and we are talking about the difference between 2 and 3 games. Because what is the difference between 1 playoff game? Really, honestly. Monetarily? I don't know. Probably depends on how many people you can fit in your stadium, whether or not you're charging for parking.
Have them go play IMG Academy if they really want a game.
That's what I'm saying. If you want more games, if you want to be on television more, you have that infrastructure. Make that happen.
No, let's be perfectly real. They can do whatever they want. And if the Southern Section tells Bosco and Mater Dei, our top 2 teams are going to play at the end of the year, Bosco and Mater Dei will announce they're leaving the CIF the next day. Sounds good, man. We'll go play in a national invitational tournament with IMG and whoever else as part of our postseason. That's not unprecedented. There would be sanctions against those teams, but I think that would absolutely be the right thing for them to do. If the Southern Section's coming to me and saying, you're too good to be in our playoffs, cool, bro. I understand what you're saying. I'm getting the message that you're sending to me that there's no point for me being in these playoffs.
But as you guys saw at the Rose Bowl, there is no comparison to the public schools that we cover and the private schools that played in that championship game. Therefore, there is no way for a public school to win that championship? Right? I think ultimately, moving forward, that's the question that the playoff committee is going to have to answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just again, like Tyler said, like, does the CIF exist to have fair playoffs or to make money? Like, I don't know that. Like, what does the CIF? The CIF exists to be the sanctioning body for and sort of the historical receptacle of these championships and of this history. But ultimately, they don't exist to make things fair for public schools. They don't exist to make things fair for Bosco and Mater Dei. Like, they just exist because literally the reason they exist was because at track meets in Long Beach, people wanted a non-biased separate entity to verify people's ages.
Yeah, this is not the Nevada Boxing Commission. They don't run everything.
Right. Yeah, no, 100%. And so I think that's like people rightly, because they have tried to make things fair in terms of the format, in part because they can't make it fair because of everything else, I think people look to them to sort of do more than is maybe appropriate. But I do think we're lucky so far, knock on wood, because I think it would be really a sad thing for those of us who are romantic about sports, who love the history of youth sports, if we started to see the coalition fracture. But realistically, you know, Bosco Mater Dei football, Sierra Canyon boys basketball, these are programs that absolutely could exist above and beyond the purview of one state's organizing body. We've seen IMG do that. I thought IMG was going to go down on its knees when the Florida athletic body kicked them out. They're still nationally ranked. They have a 5-star athlete from Long Beach out there as a freshman balling right now.
They're beating teams so bad they don't even play the second half.
So, you know, now, is that a better experience for those kids? No. Absolutely not. Is it better for the teams in Florida? Yeah, and I would add, by the way, I would not compare Bosco or Mater Dei to IMG. They are schools, you know. but I think that's that's part of this is this does have to work for everyone because the public schools are not going to leave the CIF. Bosco and Modern Day wanted to say to what you just said, sounds good, man. We'll play with the state champions of any states that'll allow their teams to play after the end of the year. If that was Hawaii, if it's IMG, whatever, like they'd do that. And that would suck. And we've run into
they're
this
just,
with the
they're just Oak Hill Academy team. With the basketball team at that point. Oak Hill Academy did the exact same thing where they just turned themselves into we'll play anybody anywhere, and they ended up getting some of the best basketball players you know now because of that.
Well, but like Sierra Canyon told the CIF, like, we want to play in this end of season basketball tournament that's a national tournament. What's the CIF going to say to those guys? No. But by rule, that's like, this is the state championship at the end of it, the season's over, right? So that's the...
We're also trying to protect the kids a little bit, too. Parents will have kids play forever. It's the kids' bodies that can't do that.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, you throw that stuff in the stew. I don't know what the right answer is.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot. That's why we do these podcast conversations, right, is to kind of open it up, allow you guys to get interactive, and to kind of know what's coming down the pipe so that when we do have this story, oh, breaking news, they're changing the playoffs. They did ask. They are asking and they're trying, which I think a lot of governing bodies, looking at you, Nevada, don't. They're just kind of, the way that we do things is the way that we do things because we've always been doing them that way. That's the, tradition is the frickin' worst, you guys. Let's get better. And tip of the cap to the CIF Southern Section for wanting to get better. That's the old sports adage, right? Nobody's the same. Every day you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And right now, looking back on the way it used to be, CIF Southern Section football playoffs are so much better.
I do agree. It's just we got the Lakers and Celtics plowed here playing in the CIF. It's wild.
All right, last word. What do you got?
Well, here's my last thought. I think the Lakers and Celtics is a great analogy. During the 80s, everyone said this is going to happen every year. Were people complaining that it was boring? No, it was when the modern NBA was established. It's when things flourished.
Salary cap. That's what you're saying.
We had 18,000 people at that Bosco Modern Day game. One of the best high school football games I've ever seen. Incredibly well coached. Incredibly well played. I think there was 3 total coaching mistakes in it, and they in part helped swing the game because that's how high the level of the play was. At the time that the Lakers and Celtics were playing every year, that felt inevitable. And maybe to some people that felt boring. But when you look back at it now, which is ultimately what the NBA, the CIF are, they're a record of history and where things were at a given time. The fact that this is how it is now, in my opinion, does not mean you should burn the house down freaking out about it. I don't think that there's some sort of destiny that it's like, it's going to be Bosco and Modern Day every year and everyone's so bored. I really don't believe that. Because in the 1950s, and 1980s, and 1960s, and the 1990s, people were making these exact same arguments about poly. Should there be an enrollment limit that, like, this football team's too good? Is it fair that they've got 4,000 kids at our school? And you had schools like Bishop Amat going, "What? We only have 800 students. Why are we being asked to play a 4,500-student public school that's been in the championship 4 years in a row?" Things change. It's high school sports. Stuff rises and falls. And, you know, so... I don't think we overreact or freak out about it. I think it's definitely worth talking about the tweaks that we can make. But my final word on it is, you know, Bosco Modern Day is the best rivalry in high school sports, best rivalry in Southern California, except for JJ versus the Nevada Boxing Commission. And so, you know, you leave it alone and you don't mess too much with it and you see what happens in the future. That's kind of my take on it.
And I guess my final word is go back to those years and show me a 56-0 semifinal and then I'll grant the premise.
Fair. That's a good final word. We want your final word as well. Get at us. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We are all over the place. If it's Long Beach Sports, it's right here at the562.org. Like I said at the top, happy holidays, everybody. Hug those close to you and enjoy all of the sports magic that is coming in December. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.